before my tree. Hour three, we call this Reaction Monday. I'm going to try to get to a lot of texts in this segment. But we got tons and tons of texts to get to. So bear with me here. And some phone calls there. Bobby Cox passed away at the age of 84. Florida State takes 2 or 3 from Clemson. Tigers wrap up the regular season this week. Tuesday, USC Upstate on the road and Virginia Tech on the road. Then ACC tournament. Alabama sweeps South Carolina. Georgia sweeps LSU. You know that Dallas Baptist, LSU, and Vanderbilt are all like not going to make the tournament this year, looks like? I think I'm right for saying that. You've got Clemson lacrosse loses to North Carolina in round two. The women's golf, Clemson women's golf in the NCAA tournament, they're down. And the regionals down at Tallahassee starting this morning. Gamecocks get 3-star offensive lineman Jackson Elston from Alabama, from the state of Alabama. The Knicks have just been on fire. I think, again, on the national scene from the weekend, the two big stories to me were the Knicks and their amazing run in the playoffs, and the Braves taking 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers. And part of that is not just that they took 2 out of 3. Part of that is that Strider comes back and looks his best self we've seen so far. So that's all great news for Atlanta moving forward. Clemson softball goes to Athens this week in the regional. They'll face Charleston and hopefully Georgia. We had the PGA Tour was in Charlotte and Myrtle Beach, and Christopher Wrighton won in Charlotte at Quail Hollow, and Brent Snedeker won at Myrtle Beach. Now they head up to Aronimink outside of Philadelphia this week for the PGA Championship. NASCAR was at Watkins Glen, and SVG won an amazing comeback there. And NHL playoffs continued in the Canadiens 162. So that was a sports weekend for the most part. And Bobby Cox passing away is the biggest news on the national scene. I wanted to mention this. I am pretty sure you can say this now. I told you forever, Monty Lee was really good to me when he was here, and I liked Monty Lee as a person, and I was kind of pulling for him to get that job. But now that ain't happening. That's not happening now. So South Carolina's baseball coach now heats up. I know that's what Ray Tanner wanted, and the board really wouldn't let him do it. And so there was a chance there that he would come in and turn things around, and South Carolina was going to have a storybook ending to it all. But it just didn't happen. And South Carolina's just – they're awful. And they need a complete reset there. And I hate to say that, but for the first time in Gamecock baseball history, they lost 30 games in a season. And they ain't done losing yet because they've got to go to Vanderbilt this weekend. Vanderbilt RPI 73. Man, what happened? And I'm a Tim Corbin fan. What happened to Vanderbilt baseball when everybody got to pay players? And there's a level playing field. Vanderbilt's not very good anymore. Vanderbilt's 29-24 and 73rd. They're out. But the Gamecocks, Winthrop at home, final, you know, senior night there, Monty Lee's final game at Founders Field, and then they got to go to Vanderbilt. But they can't hire him now. And I'm trying to think of the weekend. Was it the Arkansas game that they made the switch on a Friday night? So since then, since the Arkansas game, 1, 2, 3, bear with me a second here. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. They won 10 games since Monty Lee's got there, and they've lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. They're 10-19 under Monty Lee. So you can't make that right. And they got an 8-game losing streak. I think I'm right by saying this. I think it's the first time they have an 8-game losing streak since like 1965. So 60 years since the last 8-game losing streak. So that's all done. If you look at RPI, Clemson now is at 37 in the RPI.
Back to where we were up to after the midweek at Coastal.
Right.
Made it up to 37. Actually, I think we're at 35 after the loss to Florida State, down to 37, beat Florida State up to 35, now loss back to 37.
Yeah, you know who, it was a rough weekend as well for Bradley Leacrow and Liberty. They lost 2 out of 3 to Louisiana Tech this past weekend up in Lynchburg. And now they've got Wake Forest on Tuesday, and they got Middle Tennessee State. So I thought there's a chance where they might host, but that does not look great for that one now. So we got a lot of bubble ball to watch, and who's getting in and who's all that now. But and the 8 national seeds and all that in college baseball. So UCLA and Georgia Tech and Auburn and Texas, North Carolina, Alabama, Florida State maybe, Southern Cal maybe. They got, you know, hosts and regionals and national seeds and all that up. And then you've got the bubble boys and see what the bubble looks like for the Virginia Techs on the bubble this weekend. Big, huge series for them against Clemson this weekend. So you got a lot of that coming up. So
Says Moops.
I'm sorry. The card says Moops. Bubble boys everywhere. I'm not an NBA fan, but the Knicks in the series against the Sixers where they swept. Well, first of all, you go back in the Hawks series. In the 4 games they won, they scored 113, 114, 126, 140. In the 4 games they swept the Sixers, they scored 108 twice and 137 and 144. And they're winning by 30 and 40 points. They beat the Hawks in the finals. They put away the Hawks. Let me give you this stat right here. In the 2 closing out of the series, they beat the Hawks by 51, and then they beat the Sixers by 30. So the New York Knicks, now this is going to be a story if it can continue. They'll play the winner of the Pistons and the Cavaliers. And if it's the Cavs, they'll have the home court advantage. So game 1 in Madison Square Garden. If it's the Pistons, they'll have to go to the Detroit in game 1. But man, if this can get that thing in a championship, I don't know if anybody's going to beat the Thunder or not. But man, the Knicks are playing really, really well. And I'm going to tell you, that's going to be a story that will be one of the stories of the summer if it can happen. We're not going to have a Triple Crown winner. That's not the story of the summer. Braves will be a story of the summer maybe. But the Knicks could be the story of the summer coming out of the NBA. If it can happen. It hadn't happened in forever. If it can happen, that'd be the case. All right. Let me get a bunch of these texts. 654-ROAR, 654-7627. How about this? Texter said, Mickey, another great job from Trail. I'm employed here at Chanticleer. By the way, it's the maintenance office. So Trail, going to do an incredible job for them. Glad to see that. Always love hearing about our advertisers and everybody, all the satisfied part of all that. Texture says, losing 2 or 3 against Kentucky, winning 2 or 3 against Texas is the most Tennessee thing ever. Yeah, Tennessee baseball in their new deal there is not what the powerhouse that they were under Tony Vitella. They were phenomenal, and they were a national championship, you know, type program and national host and all that. It's not been the same in year 1 under the new guy.
Same for the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah. Just to give you that, bear with me on that one for a second. Just to give you that, the Giants are 16-24. And Tennessee, bear with me, I look up the Tennessee is 34-18, but 13-14 in the SEC and 31st in RPI. They're going to be in, but this is not a national. They won't host, so it's a little bit different deal for Tennessee baseball now. And you kind of, I feel bad because, you know, following that guy, that was going to be tough. Texas said, shout out to Anderson Men's Lacrosse, advanced to the quarterfinals of Division II national tournament yesterday. Didn't know that. Congratulations to the Trojans lacrosse team. 91-19 said, hearing Clemson may rest the starters for the Virginia Tech series. Trying to get ready for the ACC tournament, I guess. I don't know. Tech said, what's our ace pitchers, Cade and Club Knock? I get it, Corey. Very good record now. So, His record this season is he's 2-6 with a 5.27 ERA. I was wrong about this baseball team. You know, they're 15-1, and I thought, man, this is a top 10 team. This team's going to be very talented. But Daly didn't do it offensively. Canuck was awful, and the bullpen kind of fell apart. I didn't see this happening. I didn't see Talon Bell, a weekend starter in the beginning of the year, having a 9.28 ERA. Joe Allen was really good last year. I didn't see Joe Allen having an 8.53 ERA. I thought Mueller would have come along faster. I mean, Titsworth, I didn't have him going 4-3 with a 5.57 ERA. Earlier in the season, Eston Simpson got off to a great start. I didn't see him with 6.27 ERA. Legernick, 4.82. Certainly did not see. I thought Nelson would be much better than he was at 2-3 now. Certainly didn't see Canuck. Didn't see a lot of those guys doing that. Offensively, the lack of power and the injuries and what Daly was the biggest disappointment there. Two home runs. Got 50-something home runs, now he got two. So a lot of just fell off. And then looking at the lineup, I can see the arms. Like, invest in VC, invest in Sharman, go get the arms. But, man, in the outside of Savoy, they just missed it at shortstop. They missed it in center field. They missed it in right field. These are guys that – and they've been really good, by the way. Auden Mathis was a great pickup. Who was the – Overtop. Overtop was a great pickup in the past. This team looks totally different. In the past, you give Eric Backus a lot of credit in that these teams – that he has put together and these transfers he's put together have been very, very good. And I go back to a conversation I had with my golf fitter. So I go get fit for a driver. And by the way, I'm driving it much better. I go get fit for a driver for the first time in a long time. And what the guy tells me is, he goes, hey, man, you completely missed the setup. He asked me, do you watch NASCAR? I went, yeah. He goes, you ever hear about when they go to Martinsville or go to Bristol, go to shorter track, whatever, they just miss the setup. The wedges they put in, the struts, the shocks, the brakes, whatever, you just whatever the gears, whatever, you completely miss the setup. I missed the setup. I had a low spin head and a higher spin shaft. I needed a higher spin head and a low spin shaft. And I think that's what happened to this Clemson baseball team. You know, for the longest time, or not, under the first years of Backus, the transfer portal worked out. And it was pretty doggone good. Let me give you this. This is 20. His first year was 23, right? Yeah. In that 23 season, Cannarella and Will Taylor, he inherited those guys and Cooper Engle and Caden Grice. I mean, that team was loaded offensively. Blake Wright had a good year. Billy Amick came on, had a good year. Nathan Hall and Crichton, contributed a little bit. And Caden Grice and Austin Gordon, and I mean, he had some stuff better. But, then you go to the transfer portal in year two, in 24. And, I mean, Blake Wright has a great year. But Hinderleiter was a tremendous success at shortstop. And Auden Mathis out in right field. Hinderleiter hit .336. Auden Mathis hit .308 and hit 10 home runs. Hinderleiter hit 13 home runs. Overtop hit 22 home runs. And he completely nailed the transfer portal. The transfer portal was a tremendous hit. And then last year, Listy hit .310 and was on base at a .507 clip. And Chufo was coming back from injury, but he was okay, and Pano was okay. And like they were okay there. This year they just missed. Outside of Savoy, they just missed. Completely missed. And this is going to happen. And I don't want to make excuses, but this is what happened at LSU, and it's what happened at Vanderbilt. It's what happened at Dallas Baptist and all these powerhouses that are out there right now, of teams that are normally better than Clemson, that are worse than Clemson. You missed the setup, man, and that's it. LSU is 9-18 in the SEC right now and 57 RPI. They missed the setup. East Carolina, power, 52 in RPI right now. They missed the setup. Teams that are normally right there in the middle of it that are national baseball powers. Vanderbilt 73 in the RPI right now. I missed the setup. Dallas Baptist 75 in the RPI right now. Missed the setup, man. Just missed the setup. And you heard Jay Johnson talk about it. Backett's not talked too much about it. But, you know, Louisville. Louisville is a perennial power. Louisville 93rd, 94th, Duke 92. These are good baseball programs. That you take a wrong guy, South Carolina misses setup. You take a wrong player to here, do you invest money here or there, and this is going to happen. It's going to happen a lot more in the future. Just hope it doesn't happen around here very much. All right, let's take a short break. We'll come back. Man, I still got a lot of those texts. I promise I'm going to try to get these texts. 654-ROAR, 654-767, 7654-ROAR, 654-7627. Much more on the other side after this.
Running a business means wearing multiple hats. So if you're like me, you probably started out using your personal phone, taking client calls and texts nonstop. As my business grew, I needed something smarter. That's when I switched to Quo, the number one business phone.
Well, I just want to watch this. And it was like, no, okay, come on. She'll hold my hand, we'll walk down the hall, and we'll get in this interesting bed, and she'll lay on my shoulder, and I'll be in heaven. To have, last night, I got Drake on one arm and Isla on the other arm. And I'm like, man, life didn't get any better than this. And in an engineered sleep bed. So engineered sleep, engineeredsleep.com, 333 North Pleasantburg Drive, the very best mattress in the world is with engineered sleep. Love those good folks, engineeredsleep.com. Here on the station, because of sports and he's older, we got a lot of Drake stuff. Can't wait to get to Island doing some stuff, man. What a doggone blessing that little thing is. All right, welcome back. I want to get to several texts here in this segment. One I don't buy. This is from 704 area code. So the season's so bad. Oh, that's what it said. Is it lazy portal evaluations? How do you know they're lazy? Like what do we know about it didn't work this year, but did it work because they were lazy? I see Eric Backus being anything but lazy. And he also says, look at the size of the ballpark Dally hit his home runs in. Yeah, I get that. And supposedly they got a little short porch over in right field for Mercer baseball. But that being said, you could have played him at our little league park this year and he wouldn't have hit five home runs. Like, he just didn't hit the baseball. So, I don't think that's a factor. I mean, how many fly balls did Dally hit this year? That he said, man, that would have been out at Mercer, but it wasn't here at Clemson. Maybe five? So he'd had seven instead of two? Texture, that was a lazy take on the text line. No, I mean, I get it. And look, we're all busy. We don't know. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes and everything, but I didn't see Dally hit a lot of fly balls and say, oh, man, that big ballpark, Doug Kingsmore, kept him in this year. I don't think that's okay. He just didn't hit it. Texture, Dally isn't as good as advertised. Yeah, he didn't have a good year. And it happens. It happens. He did not have a good year this year. And that was a made they had, I'm not sure what he made, but like the season was, you can base your year upon Canuck, some transfer pitchers, Purify, Savoy, Dally. That's kind of what you're building around those guys. And when Canuck and Dally didn't produce, it was like, yeah. Tech said the whole roster needs to be evaluated better. Yeah, in hindsight, yeah. But, you know, we weren't saying 16 games in. They did not perform this year. No doubt about that. I'll tell you one thing I will tell Eric Backus about, I'll tell this on the air, is that he's doubting everything in the program now. And I think you got to find, like, you got to have some things you just believe in no matter what. Just because it didn't work in 1 year doesn't mean all that's broken. It might be. But it doesn't mean necessarily it is. One of the things that bothers me a little bit is they changed it for the sake of change. And I get it, they're trying everything. But there's some things you got to go, well, we do believe in this now. You know? You can't just change everything just for the sake of change. Texas, no matter what the cause, the results speak for themselves. I don't recall a Clemson baseball team finishing last in the conference in my 40 years of supporting the program. This never happened at Clemson. Backett must do a 180 next year, or he should be fired, in my opinion. Yeah, you can't finish the last 2 years in a row here. And you've heard him talk about it. One thing about it, he'll do it again tomorrow. He takes full responsibility for it and says, I'll get this thing fixed. So, I don't know if I read it. Let me read that off the air first and see if I can read it on the air. But no, it's nothing. I think this is the blip. I think this is the outlier. I don't think, well, the first 3 years in most of his career has not been that. And they've been really, really good at. Were they just lazy this year compared to other ones? No. No, I think they just missed. I think a lot of people wanted Ty Daly. And I think they just missed. I know this. I know a lot of people wanted Savoy. I've been told that. I don't know that. But just missed. And sometimes it happens. When you miss with a freshman, then you get time to develop and other people around him. But now this program, I'm telling you, it's one of the most difficult parts of this program right now is like, all right, well, those guys didn't work, and how do we rebuild now? Because they invested a ton of money in players, in arms, and there's just not a lot of position players out there to build around. This year, you had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. You had 17 guys take an at-bat this year. One of them was a pitcher in Bell, so 16 guys. And when McClatty and Purifon went down, they only had 14 guys. And among them, Ty Marshall's had one at-bat, and Kisenberg didn't have any, so now you're down to 12 guys. And Briggs Sullivan – got three at-bats the whole year, so now you're down to 11 guys. Like, there's just not a lot of guys. Jay Dillard was kind of be honest with you, Clemson, as nice as he is and as good as he is and all that, you got to do better than Jay Dillard. Fultz, a freshman, and Clavon got overwhelmed a little bit earlier on, and Jackson Moore is just a freshman, and Harris. Oh, by the way, Harris had two at-bats, so now that's down to 10. Like, you just didn't have a lot of position players. So a lot of competition in there. You can move guys around the lineup, and you can move guys around. Savoy caught, and he DH'd, and he played left field. And you move Crichton around a little bit, and you move McClatty second to third to right field, center field, and you move the guys around. But you didn't have a whole lot of options. And now on top of that, you think that Crichton's gone and Gerald's gone, and you think about, like, who could be going. Like, there's just not a whole lot of answers for the position players. So, you just got to go do better, man. Hit 284 this year, you got to do better than that. You hit 66 home runs this year, you got to do better than that. And you slugged at a .452 rate, you just got to do better than that. So, is it a freshman class? I'm looking forward to a whole lot of new in Clemson baseball next year. But I will say this. The reason I called Eric Backus was elite is because he's done it at three different schools now. He's done very, very well there. AC tournaments or championships and won a regional and all that here. But I like the vision of what he's done. I like the big picture thinking of what he's done. Now, some people don't like that. So I get this sometimes. Oh, man, we worry too much about banana ball. Nah, if you think that's the case. Or we don't need to do the veteran thing anymore. Well, if the handshake at the end of the fourth inning is the reason we're losing, I say do away with it. I don't think that's the case. You need to stop worrying about building restaurants and all that out in the outfield. That's not the reason, man. They missed on a couple players. It hadn't gone well. The guys didn't execute. But if you think about it, the guy from a kinesiology, a biomechanic, ground forces, Eric Backus knows the biomechanical part of the game. Think about the recruiting part of the game and what him and Corbin did at Vanderbilt and how he recruited what he did up in Michigan. And all, he understands that. The portal, the dollar amount, I think he totally gets all that. The promotions part of the game, I think he totally gets all that. That being said, when he says, I'm going to get it fixed, at this point in time, I am 100% saying, yeah, I believe in that. And when here's the quotes. This will not happen again. He goes, I will promise you, I will do everything in my repertoire, everything I know to do in the offseason to make sure this does not happen again. And I believe him. I believe that this program, the first 3 years of Eric Backus, is a much better indicator of him and his ability to lead this program than this year. And so he gets a 100% chance to fix it, in my opinion. And I have full confidence that if it can be fixed, then he's the guy to fix it. Put confidence in that. You?
I have no reason to believe that this is not a one-off.
Right.
If it is, then we can reevaluate. But from where I stand, I've got confidence. Confidence can change, though.
Yeah. And in it, look, one of the things you've got to acknowledge, boy, I hate it when Bowden did it. When my father lost, Joe Paterno lost. But one thing you got to acknowledge is, like, this ain't easy. Because the one slam dunk layup in all of college baseball is LSU, and they're terrible. And the next slam dunk college baseball is Vanderbilt, and they're terrible. And so, man, this thing can happen. South Carolina was the premier program in the country, and it's terrible right now. Like, this ain't easy, man. I was watching a clip the other day, and it was Bill Parcells. I think he was with the Jets at the time. And Bill Parcells said, well, I read what one of you guys said, man, these guys need a franchise quarterback. He goes, well, no kidding. He said, guess what? About 25 of the other teams in the league are still looking for the same franchise quarterback, too. So there's nothing that we're doing on this radio show. Anybody's texting in, anybody's on any kind of message board, and where the staff would go, oh, I hadn't really thought about that. Yeah, well, no kidding. Yeah, they know they got to do all those things. And they're working very hard to do it, an analytical part of what they're doing, how they do it, and all. I believe in all that. I think he's a very, very bright guy. And I really believe that. And he's passionate about it. I think he's got the ability, the aptitude, all that is going. I think it's going to happen. If it can happen. But I'm also not naive enough to think that. Is that double negative? That it's a slam dunk. It will be done for sure because, man, it's hard. It ain't easy. And if it was, you wouldn't see the team struggling that are struggling right now. Because nobody, we can talk all we want to about portal and about money, but I will guarantee you this, even if you had the most money, it's not always the case. That's not a direct correlation. Because right now, I guarantee you, LSU at 57 the RPI, I guarantee that these teams ahead of them don't have LSU money. Cal, Kent State, Troy, Western Carolina, East Carolina, Southeast Missouri State, UT San Antonio, Louisiana, Arizona State, Purdue, Gonzaga. I guarantee you they don't have LSU money. Nor does NC State or Clemson or Virginia Tech. Those teams shouldn't be better than LSU is right now. That's what scares you, is that you can and by the way, Jay Johnson is one of the best baseball coaches in America, and they're terrible. Now, how does that happen? They've got the most money, and their baseball coach is a national championship baseball coach, two national championship baseball. How in the world did it happen? That's the scary part. If it can happen to them and happen to him and happen to that resource bank, that bottomless pit of money, then how in the world can you be guaranteed it's not going to happen to your place? And oh, by the way, that means at UCLA and at Georgia Tech and at Auburn, at Texas, North Carolina, Alabama, Florida State, the teams that are at the top right now. That can happen to those teams because they aren't any better off than LSU is. This year they are, but does that mean next year, the year after? That's scary to me if I'm a baseball coach. And in summary, just one final thing. I don't think it's any one thing. I think this is a fairly complicated issue for Clemson baseball and South Carolina baseball right now. And I think it took a lot of factors to get to that, and I think it won't be a very simple fix. I think you got to go in and make major changes and get the thing done and get it done right. That's my guess. Final segment of a Reaction Monday show, and you come back after this.
When you need to move, choose Tiger Moving Company for an affordable.
So don't get me wrong. I love EB and full support of him and staff, but the lazy take is easy to support when EB's an influencer on TikTok. Maybe that's his method for recruiting. And my thing I wrote back was, the man gets up at 4:30. He works out, meets, plans, scouts, evaluates, fundraises, and practices all day. I think lazy is the opposite of what Eric Backett is. See the guy at the bananas thing, whatever, ripping his shirt off. He looks like a bodybuilder. Like, and he does it before. Like, I've got texts from him at 5 in the morning before. and then text at midnight before. Like, the guy is all day, every day, with every ounce of energy. I think there's a lot of things that are wrong in that baseball program, but lazy is not one of them. And there are enough hours in the day. Mother Teresa's got the same amount of hours that we did. There's enough hours a day to get things done. And I don't think that's taking away the intention of it. So, I don't. The banana ball thing is supposed to mean attention and positive, you know, cool aspect to your program. And all the social media stuff, that's just cool aspect to the program. That's what that is. That's an addition to. That's an and, not a but. Right? It's not very good this year. They missed the setup this year. Texas says, Clemson need to recruit more two-way players, pitchers, but someone who can play and field hit as well when time calls for it. I'd like to see that. And some of the best players in Clemson history were two-way players. And I think we're seeing more of that. So more of the Mike Milches, more of the Caden Grices, more of the, you know, Harris is a two-way player. Yeah, I'm one of these guys, man. If you can play baseball, you play baseball. And so just because you pitch doesn't mean you can't do other things. I mean, Tani has kind of changed the coolness of that too. So, yeah. My friend Dave writes in, 654 Roar. So our team this year was just good enough to tease us and thinking that we're good, but we're not. Thought all that was called recruiting, by the way, on the TikTok stuff and all that. Yeah, you got to do those things now. If you didn't, I guarantee the text would be, how come we didn't have a social media presence? All the other coaches do. They're recruiting on social media. You know? When you're losing, you're blaming on that. When you're losing and you're not on social media, people go, he's not on social media. Everybody else is. If you're losing, you're on social media, they'll be like, well, he's spending too much time doing social media stuff. You like my way my voice goes up with that? When you're winning and you're doing social media, what people say is, well, obviously, it's a recruiting tool and the guy's loving it. And when you're winning and you're not doing social media, the idea is, well, he didn't waste time on doing super stuff. He's so focused on his job. I didn't go high enough with that one. What is he doing? You know, I told you before, when Mark Richt was winning at Georgia, man, he's so composed on the sidelines. Look at him. He's calm. When he didn't win enough at Georgia, it's like he didn't have the passion. It's the winning and the losing. It's not – those are byproducts. It's not the reason. It's not the source of all that. I completely disagree with all that. I think that people don't know what's going on inside of programs, nor should we know what's going on inside of programs. And as a result, then we try to come up with all these hypotheses. And to be honest with you, we don't know enough to where – I don't know enough to where to point the arrow. Outside of Canuck wasn't very good this year, and Dally wasn't very good this year. And the team was nowhere near as athletic, didn't put enough pressure on defenses. Now, why? I don't know. Why is Canuck 2-5 with a 5.27 after going 14-2 the first years? I don't know that. And then you got some theories about NIL. Chad called that in earlier. NIL theory? Maybe. But I don't think he's making millions. I don't think this is the Peter Woods effect. Why is Dally not doing it? I don't know. Short porch, right? I hadn't seen him fly out on the terrace an awful lot. See, he had a good year. Why? I don't know. But he didn't have a good year. They put enough pressure on defenses? No. They told you the bottom three in the order this past week, not the bottom three, but Lichtenberger, Fultz, and Clavon went 1-25 against Florida State. What's the issue? I don't know. Maybe they're not very good. Maybe this completely misevaluated all those guys. But that's the outlier because Mathis was good and Obertop was good and Hinderleiter was good and Schufo was good. And so now, they're not very well in the portal. Yeah, Auden Mathis is very good in the portal. And so is Obertop. And so are all those other guys. So that's not it. Well, did they forget how to recruit the portal in 1 year?
No. Did they all of a sudden forget how to develop guys?
Yeah.
No.
Because
the staff has remained constant.
Texas Swamp Ranger in Walhalla says, if you mentioned the portal game, if you hit it right, it's awesome. If you miss it, it's terrible. That's right. And that's why, I mean, that's what Jay Johnson said. LSU's coach said, we missed it, man. We missed it, but it won't happen again, is what he says. So then you got to recruit the high school kid and develop a high school kid. And then you got to keep him there. So we'll see. 654 Roar. Let's get to Butch in Fountain Inn. Butch, thanks for hanging on, man. How you doing?
Oh, I'm pretty good, my brother. How you doing this morning?
My man, I'm doing great, man. Had a great weekend, so I'm doing fantastic. Got a big, nice week ahead. Got some baseball tomorrow with my kid. Got a great good, weather bro. This week. Good. Yeah, it's going to be a good week.
Hey, I want to follow up with last week, you know, and it sort of ties on into this morning, too, you know, with lower expectations and stuff like that. Hey, like, this year, I don't never lower my expectations for the Gamecocks. I just don't. Sure. You know, I go in there with an open mind, an open heart, and a hopeful heart. Usually get disappointed, but that don't mean that just because last year was bad,
that's right,
that we might not do something better next year.
That's right.
You know?
Well, you're a fan, man. Why would you not think that? You have
right,
to have hope.
Right.
Without hope, you've got nothing. You got to be hope.
Right. Like, you know, this year, I really do have some hope, man, because, you know, Beamer did what I wanted him to do. He brought in O-linemen. You know, he brought in eight. We had two lemons. They need to go back. And, you know, now I think he's, what, bringing in another one?
Yeah, I'll tell you this. I think that Shane Beamer should be on a hot seat court. He's done, and I think he's got a tough deal and a tough coming up. But I think that almost every move he made in the offseason was the right move.
Yes, sir. So, I do. I believe it is.
It might not be enough. Like, you know, that doesn't mean right, it's enough. It might not be enough.
Right. Right. But, oh, yeah. But, yeah. Because, you know, we got to go. South Carolina's got to go on that stretch, man. And I mean, you know, you're not playing no chumps.
Right.
And I ain't saying that, oh, we got a hard schedule. I mean, we just do. It's just facts. We do. I mean, Alabama's, you know, they're notorious for winning. You know, Oklahoma, I mean, Texas. And, getting to Texas, people talking about Notre Dame printing money and everybody talking about having their own TV channel. Ask Texas how that worked out for
them. Yeah.
You know?
It is not a direct correlation. There's a correlation, but it is not a linear direct correlation.
Right. But I just wanted to get in, man. And, hey, we got to win one more SEC game to be one more game better than we was last year in baseball.
Like it,
God. Thank you, Vicky.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Bye.
I need to look up South Carolina baseball year by year and see this, but I know it's the case. Someone pointed out the case that, and it's been widely publicized, the most losses in South Carolina baseball history in this season. It says a lot about them. They never lost 30. But, man, they're not very good this year. Let me look up Clemson, too, and see if they've ever lost 30 in a season. Bear with me a second here. The Gamecocks, the most they've ever lost, they lost 29 last year. They lost 28 under Kingston one time, under Kingston twice. And those are the worst years. They lost 28 under Gene Range in 1996. Went 25-28. So they had losing seasons in there. But, yeah, this is the most losses in one year in South Carolina history. I'll look up Clemson here in a second. I want to tell you about Brad Hughes and the Allstate Insurance Agency. Brad Hughes at Allstate.com. BradHughesInsurance.com. Better coverage, better rates. Thanks to my great friend Brad Hughes and the Allstate Insurance Agency. Get in touch with him. He can certainly help you out. Brad Hughes does an absolutely amazing job. Brad Hughes, let him do your homeowners and your auto owners and save money when it's all said and done. I'm going to look now to see about Clemson year by year with the wins and losses through all this stuff. Anyway, skip the music, buddy. Two-minute drill, what do you have? Look, I sense you got a little down over there. You have a good day today.
I appreciate that.
I'm going to pass along some prayers for you today. You have a good day today.
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
one thing I'd like to say is...
Sorry, the card says moops.
I need to get that as a key as we are approaching the bubble season.
Bubble Boy.
Part two.
I like keeping up with bubble teams, but I do say this. We spend way too much time on bubble teams because those teams usually don't do anything in the postseason. The real study of NCAA tournaments and all that is when you have – it's the seedings and the one seeds and two seeds. The story, though, for some reason, we always turn into bubbles. I'm like, no, no, no. By the way, Clemson lost 29 games in 2015. That's the most I can see so far. Anyway, but look, the bubble thing is not – well, we'd love spending time on it. But those
you got to spend time on it because, of course, they're not going to do anything. They can't leave their room. They're stuck in a bubble.
Oh, bubble boy. Bubble boy. The card said moops. Anyway.
That's it. That's all I got.
That's your two-minute joke? Good. Eric Newton, ericnewton.com. Get in touch with me. Certainly help you out. ericnewton.com. I'm looking now. Full Service Real Estate Company, by the way. Eric can help you out, and they do a terrific job. ericnewton.com. Clemson has never lost 30 games in baseball. And they're not going to lose 30 games this year. But the Gamecocks then will have lost more games than either Clemson or South Carolina. They'll lose this season in Clemson or South Carolina baseball history this year. So, anyway, and the Clemson lost. This will be the most. They tied the record. It could be the most ever they lost for ACC in one year. So, you don't want to set those types of records through all that. My two-minute drill is that was a good sports weekend, but the next two weekends are going to be better sports weekends. So, this weekend coming up, you've got the Preakness and the PGA Championship. PGA Championship is at Aronimink. It's a really cool golf course, old Donald Ross course, and rebuilt by Gil Hans and some guys. And it's a major championship. So that'll be one of the stories of the week. The other story of the week will be the Preakness. Now, not as big as it would have been because the Derby winner is not going to be running, so we don't get a Triple Crown winner, but you got that. And then next week is Memorial Day weekend, and you know what happens there. That's where you get the World 600, the Formula One race over at Monte Carlo, and you get the Indy 500. On that weekend. So that's a really cool racing day. Sunday's one of the coolest days. And then NCAA Selection Committee and baseball and all that kind of stuff. Do that. But now, you know, Memorial Day is not a great sports day itself. Major League Baseball don't do anything special for it. Major League Baseball could take reins of Memorial Day and, like, put up some big, huge Memorial Day productions and fireworks. They do that for July 4th, obviously. But let's have like the NBA's kind of taking over Christmas Day. If you think about it, like, a lot of people have Memorial Day off. We'll have Memorial Day off. And I love Memorial Day off. But sports-wise, it's like, okay, I got the day off. It's a Monday. But, like, there's not a whole lot going on Memorial Day. Have you noticed that? Is this me?
Yeah, I mean, no, I noticed that, and I'm fine with it. It's a relaxing day.
Just relaxing day. Lake day, you know, cookout day. You kind of get some of that. But really not from a sports standpoint. We need now, again, Sunday with the Indy 500 and the Coca-Cola 6 on it. Maybe it's a day to relax off of that. But it's just not a great sports day. Now, the rest of the week will be a great sports week. Eric Backers will join us tomorrow. Milt Lauder will join us tomorrow. And then we'll have Dr. Martin and Dane Young and Andrew Oliphant. Oh, Andrew's going to preview the PGA Championship for us in Thursday, Paul Strela, and Friday, Norman Guest on. It's going to be a great week for sure. I've enjoyed this one. Again, rest in peace, Bobby Cox, age 84. Talked a ton of Clemson baseball today. And certainly appreciate everybody getting with us. I'm sorry I couldn't get all those texts, but we were flooded with texts on all this subject and so much more. So, with that said, tomorrow, 7:25, Dr. Milt Lauder, our sports and performance psychologist, will join us. 7:45, Eric Backett, Clemson baseball coach, will join us. We'll get your questions in if you have any questions for him. And the last of the regular season weeks, at least, we'll have on Coach Backett. Let me thank our callers, sponsors, texters, tweeters, emailers. Will, great job. You'll be with me tomorrow?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Up next to my favorite people, Sam and Fax, to have a great day. Most important, tune in tomorrow. That's where we'll see you right here on the radio.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT.